All right, this morning I'm going to have you turn to Proverbs chapter number 22. Proverbs 22, we're just going to read one verse here. Said that the song has to do with the message. Actually, it's got to do with a series of messages that I'm going to be doing here. And this is just laying the foundation for it. As we lead up to Christmas this year and probably even a little beyond that point, we're going to focus on the five descriptive names of Messiah that are given in Isaiah 9:6, but we're not going to be in Isaiah 9:6 this morning. We're just going to lay the foundation, just going to try to give you a little bit this morning of what's in a name. What's in a name? As we look at the Scripture, names were very important. And we want us to see what is in a name. Here in Proverbs 22 verse 1 says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." There's another passage I'll not have you turn to, but in Ecclesiastes 7:1 it says, "A good name is better than precious ointment." Think about a good name. We work very hard to have a good name, don't we? I know my dad certainly did, and he's certainly kept us under his thumb to make sure that we didn't tarnish the family name. You know, he wanted us to live up to the name that he had developed over the years. But great importance was attached to names that we see in Scripture. Names most often had meaning and were chosen for the meanings of the name. And this goes all the way back to the beginning when the Lord God named Adam. Think about that. Adam was the first person to receive a name. Adam's name meant man or the man. He's actually the only one that could say that he was the man. Amen? He was the man, which makes sense. Before Genesis 2:19, the Hebrew word for the name Adam was translated as man or the man, but it is first translated as Adam in our English Bible in Genesis 2:19, where the Lord God brought the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air to Adam to see what he would call them. And so Adam became his name. Adam became his name. And not just what he was, but yet his name was descriptive of who or what he was. That's what I want you to get. The names in Scripture were given as a description many times to those who were given the names. The Lord God named Adam, but Adam named Eve. We know that he named the beast of the field and the fowls of the air, but he also named Eve, who the woman in Genesis 3:20, he gave her the name after the fall and the curse. Up to that time, she was just called woman. Now, I guess he's the only one to get by woman. Come here. Get by with just calling her woman. But it's because she was taken out of man, according to Genesis 2:23. But in Genesis 3, in verse 20, it says that Adam calls his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And we know we trace our heritage all the way back to Adam and Eve. Amen. She was the mother of all living. Her firstborn Cain, her secondborn, we know, was hurt by Cain. Nevertheless, they had names that were given to them. In Scripture, we also find where God chose a name for some others. In Luke chapter 1, verse 13, God's messenger, the angel Gabriel, told Zacharias that he and his barren wife were going to have a son, and they were to name his name John. Now, John means God is gracious. And I want you to think about that. God is gracious. God was gracious to them by opening Elizabeth's womb and giving them a child in their old age. Amen? That child, John the Baptist, what we know him by, was a fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy in Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6. The very last verses of the Old Testament, John the Baptist was the fulfillment of those two verses. God was gracious to Israel in sending John the Baptist to prepare their hearts for the Messiah's first advent. You know, we celebrate the Lord's coming into the world. A lot of folks call it the first advent. And We're celebrating that time as Christmas approaches, and he preached about that first coming, and was preparing their hearts for that time, and then he pointed them to Christ as the Lord Jesus began his earthly ministry. Remember, as he pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Shortly thereafter, we're talking about thereafter in Luke 1:31, after the angel naming John, in Luke 1:31, the same angel, Gabriel, appeared to Mary and told her she was going to have a special divine son, and his name was to be Jesus. They were to name him Jesus. Now, in Matthew 1:21, the angel of the Lord also appeared to Joseph. You know, Joseph, remember, at that time was concerned because Mary was found with a child. But it was child of the Holy Ghost. He didn't know that until the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and explained to him the divine nature of that child that was in Mary's womb, and that he was to be named Jesus. Now, the name Jesus means God saves. Amen. That's a good name. We've heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves. That's kind of redundant, isn't it? If Jesus means God saves, God saves, saves. Is it when we're singing that Jesus saves song. But we have heard the joyful sound that Jesus saves, haven't we? In Scripture, we also find where God changed the name of some folks. Remember in Genesis 17:5, after God renewed his covenant with Abram, he changed Abram's name to Abraham. Why in the world? Why did he change his name? What was the significance of that? Well, Abram meant high father. Not a bad name. But Abraham meant father of a multitude. Father of a multitude. And he named him that and said, "For a father of many nations have I made thee." Now those nations weren't present yet, but every time Abraham heard his name, it was a reminder of the promise of what the Lord had promised him. The name Abraham was a continual reminder regarding his seed and making his name great, but especially of his being the father of many nations. In Genesis 17:15, God changed Sarai's name to Sarah. Sarai means contentious, quarreling, or domineering. And you kind of get the idea when you read Scripture, maybe she was a little bit domineering. I mean, she's the one that talked Abraham into taking in Hagar, having a child with Hagar. I don't know that he would come up with that on his own. But nevertheless, Sarai did that. She was kind of trying to help God out and help him out. You know, you need a son. God, I know God's going to give you a son. You're going to do it through Hagar. No, it was supposed to be through Sarai. And God changed her name to Sarah, which means princess. And in Genesis 32:28, God changed the name of Abraham's grandson. Remember when Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord and he got his name changed to Israel? And that's where the nation of Israel got its name. Jacob means heel catcher or supplanter. Comes from when he was born. Reached out and grabbed hold of Esau's ankle on the way out there, on his foot on the way out, his heel. And Israel means a prince of God. And we know that Israel, as a nation, is God's prince. Amen. It's going to be the place where God is going to rule, where Jesus will rule a literal 1,000 years from Jerusalem. And that's his people. Amen. Now in Scripture, we also find some folks who at least attempted to change their own names. Okay, talk about names. In Ruth 1, we find after Naomi returned to Bethlehem from Moab, where her husband and two sons died, she changed her name from Naomi to Mara. Now, Ruth 1, verse 20 and 21 says this, "And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home empty again." Again, empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" Now, Naomi meant pleasant.
But Mara meant bitter. She saw herself as bitter after what happened, losing her husband and two sons. However, when you continue to read through the book of Ruth, that name is not used, Mara is not used for her. She saw herself as bitter, but the Lord still saw her as pleasant. And she is recorded in the balance of the book of Ruth as Naomi. And the Lord blessed her again and brought pleasantness into her life again when her daughter-in-law, Ruth, married Boaz and brought forth Obed. And she was able to nurse Obed. I mean, she held the little baby right there. It was a pleasant time in her life once again. Now, I want you to listen to me this morning. You may have gone through some bitter or difficult time in your past, or you might even be going through a bitter or difficult time now. But if you belong to the Lord, He can bring forth pleasantness into your life again. You know, it may be a time when things were going good and it was pleasant, but now, you know, you just got maybe some bitterness over something that's happened. Don't let that bitterness take control. Allow the Lord to make your life pleasant. He will give you that pleasantness again if you'll look to Him. Now, in Scripture, we also find where other people changed the names of some of God's people. A very good example of that is in the book of Daniel, where Daniel and remember the three Hebrew children that are mentioned as being captives with him in Babylon, they had their names changed by the Chaldeans. And in fact, their Hebrew names given to them at birth were associated with their godly heritage, as was frequently the case. If you look at the Jews naming their children, pretty much they would try to give them names that were associated with God or some attribute of God. And Daniel, whose name meant God is my judge, well, the Chaldeans, you know, they changed Daniel's name and the Hebrew children's name. They wanted them to forget their godly heritage, so they changed their name, giving them names. To captives and foreign slaves was a sign of their being put under subjection. So Daniel's name meant God is my judge or Prince of God. He had his name changed to Belteshazzar, which meant preserve thou, O Baal, or Prince of Baal, who was the chief false god of Babylon. Think about it. Having your name changed from your god to a false god, association with a false god. And it is explained six times in 12 chapters that Daniel's name was changed. And this would indicate that Daniel was not fond of the name change. In fact, when you read through the book of Daniel, very rarely does he refer to himself as Belteshazzar. He calls himself Daniel. Amen. And you would expect that. He uses Daniel 75 times in his book. What about the three Hebrew children? You know, that were with Daniel in the captivity. Now, I don't know what we know Daniel by his Hebrew name, but we know the three Hebrew children by their given name in Chaldea. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was their captive names. But if I told you we're going to talk about Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, you wouldn't have a clue who I was talking about, more than likely. But that was their names. Hananiah, which meant gift of the Lord, had his name changed to Shadrach, which meant decree of a coup, who was a false moon god. Mishael, which meant who is what God is, had his name changed to Meshach, meaning who is as a coup. Again, that false moon god. And Azariah, which meant whom Jehovah hath helped, was changed to Abednego, which meant servant of Nebo, who was the Babylonian false god of science and literature. So these names were changed. These names were changed to make them forget their past, but they wanted to remember their past. Amen. They wanted to remember their association with God. Can I tell you that the world would have us to forget our spiritual heritage also? They want you to forget that you belong to God. They want you to forget about being a Christian. Want you to forget about being a believer. They were, just go back to living the way that you were before you came to know the Lord. Listen, when we got saved, God made all things new. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And when we got saved, we got a new nature, complete with a different set of values and desires. And many of us made new friends because our old friends didn't want to have anything to do with our new God. They didn't want anything to do with our Savior. Didn't have, you know, if you got that Savior, I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. On top of our new nature, though, and with a set of new values and desires, we also got a new name. Before we got saved, we were children of the devil. But now we are the children of God. And we're going to take a look at that closer tonight. Tonight is kind of a part two of this message. I'm going to look at the names that have been given to us as believers. Amen. One of those, the very first one, we're going to take a look at as child of God. But listen, I may not have a name that is well known here on earth, but it made news in heaven when I got saved. And praise God, my name has been recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I trust that yours has too. And if it's not, you need to get it in there. Amen. Because the Lord's coming back. Names can come to mean something by those who are associated with those names. You know what I'm talking about. I can mention a name, and often you may have a thought pop in your head about that particular name. Amen. I mean, that's what the news wants to do to you. We want to get you bent toward thinking a certain way about people, names that they throw out. And they will use their time to try to either build up a name or tear down a name. But tell me what you think of when you hear these names of folks who are found in the Bible. Jezebel. You know, when we think Jezebel, we think of a shameless and immoral woman, don't we? Well, that's what her name has become to be known. But do you know her original name meant chaste? Not a bad name, but she gave herself a bad name, did she? By her actions. In all my days, I have never heard of someone naming their daughter Jezebel. I trust that they wouldn't. And there's a reason for that, because there's a stigma attached to that name now. A stigma is a mark or design or a sign of disgrace or discredit. Another name, Delilah. Positive or negative? Negative, right? Negative. We think of her as a harlot, deceiver, gold digger. I mean, what you want. Though her name meant delicate. Nothing wrong with being delicate as a woman, is there? But Delilah, too, has a stigma now attached to it because of Samson's girlfriend, Delilah, found in the book of Judges, who sold his secret out to the enemy. I've only heard of one person named Delilah in my lifetime. She's a radio personality. And I don't know whether she gave herself that name or whether that was her birth name. I kind of figure she must have gave that name to herself. But I personally would never name a daughter Delilah because of the stigma attached to the name, even though sounds like a pleasant name, Delilah. I mean, sounds good enough, doesn't it? Until you think about who it's associated with. Think about Judas, betrayer, right? First thing popping in your mind. It's a popular name in Jesus' day, but not in our day and in our circles. There even was another Judas who was a disciple, who was an apostle, and the Apostle John identifies him as not Iscariot. Not Iscariot. And I imagine he probably went around, "I'm Judas, but not Iscariot." may have done that himself. Apostle John calls him that in John 14:22. Now, the name Judas means praise. Not a bad name, is it? You know, we ought to be full of praise. But again, there's a stigma. What about some names in recent history? I mean, if your last name was Arnold, you wouldn't want to name your child Benedict, would you? Benedict Arnold, a traitor. If your last name was Hitler, you'd want to change your name, wouldn't you? So I think I'd be named something else. Because Adolf Hitler was a mass murdering dictator. Same thing with if your last name was Bundy, you wouldn't want to call your child Ted. I mean, it's associated with a serial killer. Now, those names are normally avoided because of the reputation or stigma attached to those who bore those names. I remember watching a TV special one time. It was one of those documentaries that they were interviewing members of Hitler's family, and many of them lived in the United States, but they changed their name. Imagine that. They changed the name, and very few people that lived around them knew what their name really was, that they had been previously associated with Hitler. They didn't commit any of the crimes that Adolf Hitler did, but the name Hitler had an extremely negative stigma attached to it there during World War II and thereafter. Amen. How about these biblical names? Enoch. Good name, right? And he walked with God. He was translated. We know he was a man of faith. Noah, another one that walked with God. With one that we know that through faith he built the ark that the Lord told him to build. Amen. And delivered his family. As we think of Moses, Moses was the deliverer of God's people from Egyptian bondage. Think of David, which was my dad's name. David is a good name. He was a shepherd, a giant killer, a king, a man after God's own heart. But sadly, he was also a murderer and adulterer. But we think of him mostly that he was a man after God's own heart. In the New Testament, one of my favorite characters is Barnabas. Barnabas was a missionary. His name means son of consolation. And that's what he was. He was a giver. As you look at Barnabas, Barnabas was one that tried to reconcile people. And he was one that tried to help folks. And these are good biblical names. Now we know that the Apostle Paul was previously known as Saul before his conversion, but he changed his name. We don't know exactly when, but it was not long after entering into the ministry. And we're not told why, but I believe that quite possibly it could have been because he wanted to remove himself from that name that represented what it represented to so many people. Saul had been a persecutor of Christians, hadn't he? And he wanted to remove himself from that because he was no longer a persecutor of Christians. He was then a Christian. Now we know that sometimes it's not really the name itself that matters. It is the one, is what one makes of their name, right? The name Paul is no better than the name Saul, but it had a reputation that went with the name, and he wanted to be removed from that reputation. So Saul had ruined his name by persecuting Christians, and then boom, he became one. And so he removed himself from it by changing his name. So how does one get a good name? How does one get a good name? Same way one gets a bad name, right? It normally comes from one's character or reputation. The character or reputation associated with the name. You think about the name of large corporations. You know, they spend billions and billions building and trying to maintain a good name. They'll trademark their name where nobody else can use it. You know, they'll copyright the things, the logos and all, because they're trying to build trust in the name. They want you to trust them enough to buy their products. If they are proven to be untrustworthy, they may lose billions and billions of dollars because they have developed a bad name or a bad reputation. Have you known of some company that once had a good reputation and it was changed because of something that happened in the company? Some have been hurt because someone else hurt their name. I remember when I was younger, when you know there was a bunch of scare in pharmacies because somebody was going in pharmacies and putting poison pills in the Tylenol. Remember when Tylenol had to rebuild their name after? I mean, Tylenol was associated with poison there for a little while. I thought, well, they'll ditch that name and try to come up with another one, surely. But they didn't. That's just Tylenol still around. But we know that for a person to get a good name, they must prove themselves to be persons of good character. They must develop a good reputation and they must be trustworthy. Now, our name becomes associated with who we are. In other words, the people we become. We as Christians have taken the name of Christ, and that's why it's so important that we be very careful of how we live. Amen? We need to be careful how we live. We need to do everything we can to have a good testimony because we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and so it's of utmost necessity that we be men and women of good character. Listen to these two verses written by the Apostle Peter. In 1 Peter 3:16, he says, having a good conscience, that whereas they, talking about the world, speaks evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Now we know that we can stand for some good things, right? But the world looks at as being, that's not good. You know, we stand against killing babies. Well, we take a bad rap for our stance on abortion. You know, there's things that we stand for and things we stand against that, you know, God wants us to have a name that we stand against certain things or we stand for certain things. But the world may see it as a negative, but God looks at it as a positive. And what we need to do is look at our name as the Lord sees it. 1 Peter 4:14, listen to this. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he's glorified. You know, if somebody takes and wants to give you a grief over being a Christian, over being a believer, don't worry about that. You know, the Lord is glad that you are. Yet you're worthy to suffer shame for his name. For the most part, a person's reputation is based on character, and a person's character is based on their conduct and their speech. In fact, Christ said this. He said in Matthew 7:17-18, talking about how people are known by their fruits. He said in Matthew 7:17-18, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And he said, by their fruits you shall know them. By their fruits. Well, guess what you got to do by looking at their fruit? You got to be a fruit inspector, don't you? That means you got to judge. And they'll take the verses in Matthew 7 and earlier, well, judge not that you be not judged. And they'll say, well, you know, God, Jesus said you ought not to judge, so you know, you're wrong by judging. No, that's not what he meant about that. Okay? They take it out of context and make it mean something that doesn't mean because Jesus very clearly said, you got to make some judgments in Scripture. In fact, we're to judge righteous judgment. It wasn't one of his statements. And make sure you judge righteous judgment. Well, we need to know what the righteous judgment is if we're going to judge righteous judgment. Amen? And that comes from judging according to the Word of God. What does the Word of God have to say about it? Now, in closing here, the purpose for our looking at what is in a name has to do not only with what we're going to see tonight in the second part of this message as we look at the names given in Scripture for those of us that are in Christ, but also over the next couple of weeks as we approach Christmas. And Lord willing, we plan to look closely at the descriptive names of Messiah that are given in Isaiah's prophecy of our Lord Jesus Christ is found in Isaiah 9:6 and the significance of those names. But let me ask you in closing, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? It's very important that it is. Do you belong to Christ? If not, come to Christ today. It's very important to have His name associated with your name. If you say that you belong to Christ, what do your fruits say about that? What are the things that people see in your life? If you were on trial for being a Christian, can they see enough evidence in your life that you would be convicted? Huh? Do your fruits show that you belong to Christ? Does your name bring honor or dishonor to the name of God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? So, let's look at our names. Make sure that your name, number one, is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if it is, make sure that you're living the way that the Lord would have you live. Amen. Because very much in a name. And we need to make sure that we are bringing honor to the Lord. Let's pray. Father.